You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we His grace than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God. Well, that was Always on My Mind by Misty Edwards. And of course, I kicked it up a couple of notches when I sang a cappella on Amazing Grace. And this is Dr. Shirley Caniff here on WSCIRO, Seek the King, Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. Seek the Kingdom Internet Christian Television of Greater Boston, ITV, is the other media ministry outreach enterprise that is part of Seek Christian Teaching and Worship Center. And I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff.
Hi, world.
And he says, raring to go. I mean, Misty got us fired up, and actually the Holy Spirit operating through her. And we are here today. It is Saturday morning in New England. And let's see, it's October, what is it, 29th? A couple of days before Halloween, according to the church, has the All Souls Day and All Saints Day, and you got to skip over that Halloween thing. And it seems to me that we are going to see some snowflakes, too. Winter is trying to show up, but then we're going to go into 60-degree weather. So we're going to have a nor'easter, an old-fashioned nor'easter, Bostonese, or northeaster. And it's amazing. The Lord did tell me we're going to have a warm winter, and I know it's going against what has been forecast through the Farmer's Almanac, but sometimes, most of the time, the Lord does give me a bird's eye view through discernment what's going to happen in the next season, and then he'll also do a follow-up of what he's going to do spiritually, too, because it seems that, like we had taught earlier, as the Lord revealed things from heaven, teachings from heaven, that usually the spiritual things parallel the physical things. And it says in Scripture, too, Jesus says, how can you, when he was talking to scribes and Pharisees, how can you not, you can forecast weather and, you know, when it rains out, you know when it rains out, but you cannot forecast the seasons of the Spirit, which is primarily the same thing. You just have to be in contact with, connection under an open heaven. And, your heart has to be pure and right before him. You have to, be in that personal relationship, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I think that this is going to be the show in which we are going to bring into that. Because there are two more Activity of Heaven shows, and this is what this is all about. This show, on Faith Talks Live Prayer, we're going to talk about the Activity of Heaven. And I believe it's the fourth one in the series of the Activity of Heaven. And as it pertains to discernment, did you know that there are different levels of discernment? Discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit, Jeff?
Yes.
A gift of the Holy Spirit that oftentimes gets overlooked. It gets over, most of the time people are praying for wisdom, they're praying for understanding, they're praying to receive gifts, the gift of healing, working of miracles, and faith, but discernment, people are saying most of the time when you ask them to pray, yes, I'll discern, especially when you also say, well, I have a word for you, and what is the word? Well, I'll discern that word, but what is it that the discerning, and how are they discerning? And what is discernment? Jeff, do you have that definition of discernment? I think it's right over here towards your right pile of paper right there. And we usually do our homework and work, and my husband's going to talk about the gift of discernment with me as it pertains to this broadcast. But first, before my husband Jeff reads the Webster's Dictionary regarding the definition of discernment, I'm led of the Holy Spirit to really touch base with what the Lord's been showing me spiritually and what he's doing in the body. And he's been talking and speaking into my spirit through dreams and visions, regarding the work that he's doing in the heart and minds of the youth, and and how that in the work and what he's doing in this spirit to prepare them for the days that are coming, for the days in which we are living now, but for the greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then he showed me something about the tsunami. There's been many prophecies, doomsday prophecies regarding the tsunami. And I know that the Lord, before anything happens, he does inform his people, the prophets, or those who prophesy in part, okay? Lots of times, it's, some of these things are not rightly discerned all the way. They may be partially discerned. They may be discerned according to the dictates of that person's persona or spirit, and where, and so it's the Lord's way of coming into time, informing his prophets what's happening. But there's also a part of discernment and how, first of all, to how to convey the message to the greater population, and that requires some interior work, I believe, on the part of the one who would deliver the word. Because the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us one of power, love, and a sound mind. And if he does that, then I believe that when we hear from God, regarding things that are about ready to come upon the earth, our responsibility, I believe, as receivers of the revelation, is to do some, inner work with ourselves to find out, Lord, before I go forward with this word, can you do a work in my spirit? Make sure there's no fear there, worry or anxiety, so that doesn't contaminate the word that's flowing from heaven. And I want to just apologize for not being able to, come forward with this. But I had been waiting on the Lord, and the Lord has been doing some interior work within me, and I had to forgive some people. Sometimes it wasn't as well received as I thought. But as long as I got it off my chest, because I didn't want it to come in between me and the word that the Lord would give for me and the remedy for the season in which we are in. Very much given the prophetic word is just like, similar to the way that the weather forecasters do the weather. They got the map, they got the visualizations, they got the talk, and then they encourage people more than some prophets do. They go and they say, well, there's a snowstorm coming, but this is what you need to do to prepare. This is what you need to do. It may be lessened in some areas. They use their computer modules and they're most of the time they get it from NOAA, the National Weather Forecast, computer systems, because they get their information from satellites. The satellites are watching the earth and everything. Well, of course, the satellites that bring the prophetic word can be in the form of angels through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes they can come through dreams and visions and a whole lot of things. And so, it's up to us when we receive that, when we are the receivers, we need to properly discern the word as it's coming to us and how we are to respond. Just like let me just say that just like the spiritual warfare is on three different levels, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we can discern from those three different levels too. Is what we get in from the world, is what we is it for the world, regarding what's going on in the flesh, and is it something that we need to know about what the enemy's doing, and as the word comes forth from heaven, to the earth. All right. Well, I want to back up to three particular things that's very important before we go forward in this, okay, so you understand, just what the Lord is, saying to his people, to his bride, the church, the body of Christ, in this day and age, and what he's doing. He's really, it's amazing how he breaks into our personal life, but we've asked the Lord to do that, to break into our ordinary circumstances in our life, to interrupt us with heavenly interruption. And so when he does this, it's just so awesome. I have the luxury of transporting a wonderful little girl who's in a wheelchair to and from school in the Squantum area. And they have along the Squantum area beaches and marshes, and it's really nice to just drive up there every day, morning and afternoon, more so in the morning when everybody's just waking up and nature's just waking up, and you start seeing, I believe it's low tide in the morning, and people are out there. The fishermen are out there actually digging for clams, and they're for their restaurants or wherever they're going to sell the clams and everything. Well, sometimes as I'm driving through, lots of times, if I see something in the sky, in the heavens, or if I see something around me, it leaves an impression, and then the Lord will give me an update in my dream life, okay? So that's what happened with this instance. I had a dream that I was brought back to these particular mud flats. You know, during low tide, we've had a spiritual leader said that the spiritual walk is related to the low water tables and the high water tables. And he likened to, you know, the impending judgment of this nation to because the spiritual water table is low. And when it's low, you're going to get low, you know, people are going to elect leaders with, you know, that have, out of that low spiritual tide. So, you know, the high spiritual tide, you know, where you are, the whole nation, the whole culture is walking the walk and talking the talk of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So leaders that arise from that will, you know, be very beneficial and hold back, you know, because of their decisions, hold back the judgment of the Lord and, you know, and all will benefit. But so during this industry, we were at low tide. So the symbol for that is low spiritual tide. All right. And I noticed that there was this couple, they were a young couple. Probably in their 20s, very, very young. They were very interested in the low tide. And they decided they were going to go swimming. And I turned to the Lord and I'm like, where are they going? There's nothing here, you know? But they went and they dug a hole, all right? And they got in there really low, really deep, really muddy. And I'm like, they're not going to come up. Don't they know that there's like nothing down there in that hole? Okay, and the Lord just looked at me and he said, watch, okay? So they jump into that hole, one jumps in first, a woman jumps in first, a man jumps in second, the young man. And I thought, oh my Lord, you know, they're dead, aren't you going to resurrect them? And then they came up, you know, they're all covered with mud, all covered with, you know, whatever is down there with the clams, you know, the scavenger, crustaceans, that we're not supposed to eat because they eat everything else that's unclean at the bottom of the sea floor. So anyways, that's where they were, okay? So spiritually, that's saying that they were really at all-time low in their spiritual walk. And it's a symbol for this generation, the young generation that we spoke about earlier, which is the generation that's around us. They've gone through a lot of things, tasted a lot of food of this world, and a lot of it was not good for their spiritual edification. Matter of fact, it was, you know, attributed to their spiritual degradation. And so what happens is that they come up. But this time, as they were coming out with the mud, I was expecting them, you know, I was expecting them to come up from I was expecting them to come up with all this mud covered, okay, because they went in, and I wasn't even sure if they were going to live. That's what it was, as I'm remembering this. bear with me. And so as it was coming up, it was like they didn't come up. That's what it was. It was just like gel-like, spherical, means round. The earth is spherical, round form. And you can see right through it, very transparent, very clear, very full of light. There was two of them. And they came over to Jesus. I'm thinking, like, what is this? The one says it's a spirit. Okay? And he's saying, even though this generation that has tasted the food of this world, and instead of it edifying this inner man, it's degraded them. But he's poured out his spirit as they seek to get so low that they can't go anymore, that he is taking them out of the pit. And he is pure, and he's bringing purification and enlightenment to their inner man. Okay, and he's doing it by his grace. That's why he's saying amazing grace at the beginning. And it's a work that he's doing because he has a work for them to do on the face of this earth, okay? And when you have a huge culture that's been influenced by all these things from the previous generation, at the same time, you have to look at what the victory will be. You know, what is it going to look like, all right? So it's going to be good. The Lord is saying it's going to be good. He's working all things out. He is raising up people from their pits. And we need not stop them, even if it doesn't look right to us, even if they've been following the Lord and backslid and went into the pit. We don't get on the broadcast networks and slam-base them like some people, like some people have. I can tell you different things that had gone on in my life and with the people around me and visited upon me, but I never hold, it took a while. It took some inner healing and deliverance, but I never held grudges. As a matter of fact, because I never held grudges, I was able to pray for these very same people that were significant in my life, okay, for their salvation when they were on their deathbed, or when they were in some kind of situation which landed them in a hospital, and the hand of the Lord began to move because of that flow of forgiveness and that willingness to forgive, just the willingness alone, okay, and the fact that all those memories have been healed, and he gave a remedy for each one of those situations. As I began to be truthful in seeking the truth, you know, seeking his truth for my life and for their life as these situations happen. You know, there comes a point, folks, that even in your walk with the Lord, if it doesn't match up, you know, if everything in your life doesn't match up with his peace that flows from heaven, you know, in relationships and maybe you sat it out in relationships with people that you, for your own gains, those are the things that are going to get severed, all right, and run amok. And the thing is, no matter how much praying we do, it won't fix it, because it was probably not your will to be in that relationship or situation or circumstance to begin with, okay? There are choices that we've made to do certain things that, you know, also didn't fall in line with the will, the perfect will of God. So, you know, as he begins to pour out his spirit, those things become shaken, and we're left with the reality of what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live and the people he wants us to be with, because it's all about the kingdom. It's not about the person. The person, as they experience the love of the Lord, as they experience total acceptance from the Lord, they will surrender, all right, out of love for the Lord, and so be glad to surrender their whole body, mind, will, soul, and emotion. I heard someone on a recent video broadcast, a leader, at first said, well, you know, it's not that he takes out personalities you know, he doesn't take it away from us. He doesn't take ourselves away from us. He does take the part of self, all right? And I wanted to correct this person. He does take a part of the self that doesn't gratify him. He takes it and he transforms it. You know, there has to be a releasing on our part so he can do what he wants to do with us. Okay, it's a give and take situation. At the same time, the Lord makes it much better for us in the long run. And we should not be afraid to give that part of ourselves that we know doesn't please him and doesn't serve the purposes of the kingdom. It could be our wants, our desires, our will, and our ways. All right? That's very huge in this day and age and for this generation. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is the authority that the Lord's releasing from heaven. The authority that he's releasing from heaven. I just started back at exercising, and what does this have to do with prayer? Well, the Lord's been telling me all along this whole year, get back to your routine, your exercise routine. And before, I didn't want to do that because I felt like I was going to the gym back, you know, when I was a lot younger for vanity purposes. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to worship the Lord, and I didn't want to be in a place where there was all this like songs that were contrary to the Holy Spirit. And but this whole year, the Lord just kept saying, you know, you're 51 and you really do need to exercise. And my bones, my muscles, everything was talking back to me, you know, through, you know, chronic, you know, almost, I thought, is this chronic fatigue syndrome? But it wasn't. It was just they needed to move. And but what happened was when I started recently getting back to exercising, the dreams and visions started getting clearer. So there's a balance. Lord wanted to cause a body balance, a balance with body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion, because your body needs to also be up there with the spirit and relaxed. That's the word, relaxed to receive, all right? Relaxed to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to give to you. So, and I hadn't been, in my sleep patterns have been off, but lately I've been getting the best sleep, and I've been having clear-cut vision. So the vision that I saw, and it was over a span of a couple of nights, was these wonderful, elaborate horses coming from him, beautiful horses, and they were connected to chariots, and I'm just watching them go across the skies of the United States, and I'm thinking, I'm like, the Lord is having good things for the United States. It's because of the youth. It's because of the work that he's doing in the youth in this next generation and what he's deposited in this next generation coming up. So have heart, okay? Do not lose your heart. Continue to pray for the youth because God is going to be doing, you know, you sow into prayer for the youth, especially. You're going to sow into the future of America, okay? And its role, okay? Spiritual role in the global community. There is a global community emerging, but it's not going to be. If you don't pray, it will become the way that everybody's fearing, but it's not going to be that way. And I know there's probably some people saying, she's twisting the prophetic word. I am only giving to you what I see, okay, and what I hear from the Lord. And he always wants us to encourage one another while there is still time. All right, the third thing that I got, and it was amazing, was regarding the tsunamis. I've heard so many tsunami parallels and perils. In living on the East Coast, this one particular leader was saying in his school that there's one coming up, the whole entire East Coast. Okay, he also said something about the West Coast, but the East Coast. And it's going to be so, so big. You know, that, you know, and It's going to wipe out, you know, the coastal areas. It's going to be a 1,000-mile wave, and, you know, because there's a lot of activity in the volcanoes and everything, and I guess lately people have been talking about the Canary Islands and everything, okay? Well, the Lord is telling me that would be the case if all the volcanoes at the same time went off at the same time, caused a massive amount of earthquakes at the same time. But he's doing it one by one because in each volcanic interruption, and I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit eruption in one of my other sequels to the activity of heaven. But if they're going one by one, because if you alleviate the pressure underneath Earth through, you know, each volcano one by one at different times, it won't have as much of an impact. And then he was saying that he's doing something in those lands, in those areas, with the people at the same time. And it's a spiritual thing and it's a physical thing. I believe it's, like I said, it's one at a time because of his mercy and his great love. The other thing, too, is a few nights ago, I had a dream that a tsunami was released, okay? But as it was released, the Lord took the tsunami wave. It was a really big wave. It was bigger than the Empire State Building, all right? And all of a sudden, it stopped. It froze. And there was an angel, a real big angel, taller than the wave, stopped it. A warrior angel stopped the tsunami. And when he stopped it, he froze it. Then he picked up the frozen wave and moved it. So that is going to be the remedy in the spirit for this. I don't know what ramifications it has physically, but the waters are very cold in those areas. Okay? And so God is going to do something with freezing. He's going to either freeze it in the Holy Ghost or maybe even show it in a phenomenon in the natural. Okay? But there is going to be a freezing of this in the spirit, and it could cross over to the natural. And there was an angel, a warrior angel, they appointed over that wave, okay, to freeze it so it does not cause any damage. So you know, for those who are, you know, fear mongers, hear this word. The Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us one of power, love, and a sound mind, and we use that in discernment as well, okay, and discerning the word that comes from heaven, all right, because we have to encourage one another while there is still time. I want you, Jeff, to read about, you know, to read the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of discernment, and then we are going to go into Hebrews? What's the book? Okay. Hebrews, and talk about discernment as it pertains to the book of Hebrews. Okay, so if you can give me that Bible right there with it, Hebrews, I can be flipping to that while you're talking.
Hebrews.
Hebrews 4. Okay. Hebrews 4.
According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word discernment, first definition, the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, and is also a reference to one's skill in discerning, making that act of discernment, an act of perceiving or discerning something. And I have a definition from my church on discernment that I am in agreement. It agrees with the scripture that you're going to hear in a moment. How does one understanding of the concept of discernment, the word discernment means to separate apart so that we might distinguish something that is obscure in order for it to be perceived clearly. It is the way in which we identify God's will within the context in which we live. Most of us do know God's will because it's been revealed through the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. However, there are times when God's will is not so clear, and we realize that we need to search for what God is asking of us. Discernment is an art, and it is learned by doing, not just by reading about it. It is a function of an individual's personal relationship with the Lord.
Mm.
When we desire to do God's will, are willing to be open to God, and have a solid knowledge of God, then discernment is possible. Therefore, prayer is an essential component to the process of discernment. To be a truly discerning person, we need to be humble, charitable, and courageous. As we become more familiar with the Lord in prayer, we will come to know that still small voice as it speaks in peace, never in turmoil, anxiety, or restlessness.
And so, I, as he was reading that, I slipped open to Hebrews 4, verse 12, okay, regarding just what discernment does in the heart and mind of the believer, when you get a prophetic word especially. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, the joints in the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So this is what happens in the, a word that's revealed. We get it. It comes to our senses. We start to receive it, but we have to do some interior work in ourselves and ask the Lord to show us areas in our heart before we release the word, what's happening. But as soon as you get the word, it's funny. It does that. It separates the things of the spirit and the things of the flesh, the soul realm. And it also separates the, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of the soul and spirit, like I just said, and the joints in the marrow, okay? And right down to the thought and attitudes. And so, you know, we got to always be in that state of reverence, when we, especially when we receive the word. And then before we deliver the word, all right? But it does do that change within us, and that's a good thing, that transforming change, all right? That is essential to for the Lord to begin his work in his people, to bring life where there is death. Especially spiritually. Everything begins spiritually, and then it crosses over to the natural. So we just want to always be in that state of grace, and we need to be abiding in his mercy and under his blood, okay? That speaks far more eloquent than that of the blood of Abel in the book of Genesis. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this revelatory word, Lord. We thank you. Another vision that the Lord had given me regarding discernment, I was just talking to someone, a dear sister of mine, who was led of the Lord to call me. She's a Facebook friend, she will be on, her name is Melissa, she will be on, I think we're going to do a part two to this discernment, because there have been the abuses with discernment. We touched on some fine points yesterday on when I was having this phone conversation. It sounded so much more like a radio broadcast. And so I had, all of a sudden the Lord gave me an analogy of a television and how discernment operates, you know, and how one begins to receive that revelation in response to discernment. Anyways, I thought the old television of the day. It wasn't old-fashioned back then. It was color and in a big, big box, you know. And so the Lord gave me a vision of that. And he showed me how when you first turned on those old TVs, it would take a while for the picture to come in. It would start in this, like, this big, this little dot of a white piece of white light, all right? And then it would just, in some TVs, it would get wider and wider and wider, and then the picture would come in. Independent on what's set in the antenna, which receives a signal to the cathode ray tube in the back of the TV that gives the picture, dependent on the condition of that thing, determines how bright that vision is that you're getting on the television, the image, okay? So sometimes if that image is not coming in right, you know, you can adjust the color, you can adjust the brightness, you can adjust the HUE, the way of the TV, the hue, and you can do different things to make the picture bright and clear. And then you can also turn up the volume, all right, to hear the words. So this is very much how discernment operates, especially when you're given a word from heaven, either audibly or visually, all right? But unlike TV, all right, you know, although the TV, you have to make sure that those internal mechanisms are operating right so you can get the full the fullness of the message, all right? So it is with our innermost being. We have to make sure that our attitude is right. So the Lord's got to tweak our attitudes inside of us, got to, you know, tweak the thoughts. But this is what the this is the power behind the revelatory prophetic word when it hits us. When, this is what it does. It, again, we're going to Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, all right, is living. It's doing something. It's living. And active. It's living. It's active. It's alive. Like the image that's coming forward on the TV. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. Even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So we must all give account to how we respond to the prophetic word and how we communicate it to the rest of the body. So we just thank you, Lord. Is there anything that you want to add to this teaching, Jeff?
I do. I want to give the listening audience the references we're using.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 1:9, Hebrews 4:12, and there's some Old Testament references. Job 12:20, Proverbs 2:3, and Proverbs 15:21. Job 12:20 says, "He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders." To me, that means if there's a problem in man's relationship with God, the discernment ability is weakened because of some faith issue, sin, disobedience, any other
bad attitude,
and God makes it cloudy on purpose so that we would lay those hindrances, recognize those hindrances, and lay them down and seek him. Put aside every encumbrance and hindrance to chasing after God. God wants us to chase after him, to pray after him, to fast after him, as his example that Jesus showed us in Scripture.
So we're going to go into a song right now, another Missy Edwards song. I believe it's called See the Way. he moves. Okay, and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray. We're going to lead some people to Jesus, and we're going to have communion. How about that? Okay, so let's go to Missy Edwards. Enjoy. That was See the Way by Misty Edwards, okay, from her album Always on My Mind. Well, actually, before we go into prayer, we are there is a testimony that I wanted to give that the Lord has shown me, the fruit of discernment from when I was 12 years old. And how the Lord had been the mastermind behind working this thing out for the benefit of a celebrity who is now in into gospel music full swing, okay? And but I'll let you know who that celebrity is after this. I was going through my notes during Misty Edwards, during the song See the Way. He moves, okay? And I wanted to summarize and give you a tool, a pointer, all right? Some tools for, you know, when you receive a revelation from heaven and what kind of tests you should do for yourself, okay? It says, in order to test the spirits as St. John commands, us in his letters to see if they are from God. After the educational information, the next area of cultivation is in the realm of character development. All right, so that's what that's the interior acknowledgement of the word and your response to it, okay? This arena should be addressed to the ministry office and the wisdom of maintaining a separation between ministry space and private personal space. Will be seen. This is what my husband put together. So, Jeff, you want to say something? What did you want
to
say?
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, when we're ministering to people, we have to be sure we do that.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where everyone's coming from or if they're going to always be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you're in ministry, you should be really careful about whom you're ministering to and where you're ministering to them. And sometimes having a space in your church office or
your ministry
another
office.
Ministry office,
yeah,
place is better than having them entering your home space, especially if you have a family and you have children, you know, young children around. That is the wisdom to, you know, your first priority is to keep your family safe, even in the ministry to people.
Right, and so I just want to back up that this actually is a good way for ministries, like Jeff said, to discern with the following tests. And there are also, as far as heart tests are concerned, those can be applied to the individual. And I'm going to read the list so that you can have an understanding. Some, like we have a ministry questionnaire, right? It's actually a discernment survey that has been very helpful and resourceful for when people feel called of the Lord to come alongside of us or to network from with us. We always have this school, the students in our school of ministry, in the SEEK International Leadership School of Ministry, fill out a discernment survey, especially after they finish the online curriculum. And they go at their own pace. And we always want them to, we encourage them to connect with us, to come out for a week and stay with us. We recently had a graduate, the student and her husband come in to stay with us for 2 months. They actually had a camper, and they were very, very, very creative and resourceful. They what did they do? They converted a bus, a school bus, into an RV, and it was really nice. It looked like a yacht inside, so that's how nice it was. But they were able to stay with us for 2 months. And we were able to, we dusted off our discernment survey, and it really helped ground them, okay, as to what their mission and vision was for ministry, and what they expected from us, and what they expect, you know, and what they really wanted, you know, to focus on in ministry, and it also showed them some areas where they need to work on, and things like that. And so I just encourage you to, maybe if you're in ministry or just for your own self, to, you know, create a little survey for yourself based on what I'm going to share with you here. There's the edge, you know, for those that are in ministry or you have a school of ministry or you're training up people one person at a time, the educational test, and then there's the waiting test. You know, when you wait, or when you make people wait on you, especially if it's done in the context of school ministry or you know, some kind of training, ministry mission training, there should be ingrained in that training a time of waiting on the Lord. And but it was so funny when we had done that waiting test after we had interacted, and when, you know, and we did our own thing that we needed to do for the day and left them to ponder about some things and pray and not even give a definition of when we would get back together, as they were in their own space and we were in our own space doing things. It was funny to see their reaction to the waiting. They got so frustrated, and it was just. But that's the human flesh response to waiting, and that's the Lord burning things out.
The scripture says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount on the wings of eagles."
They shall mount on wings of eagles, and this is what we were. We weren't doing it for them, but the Lord was doing it for them as we backed away, okay? But it was really quite interesting to see the response and reaction and things like that. So anyway, so there's the waiting test, the scriptural test. The willingness test, the love test. How do you love? The hope test, the faith test, the integrity test, and there is the health test, because, like I said earlier, it just seemed that as I waited in the morning, and it was telling me, Shirley, you need to go while you're waiting. You need to exercise your body and, you know, and relax it and things like that. And so when I finally did it, what he told me to do, it was like a prayer, and it wasn't done in sheer vanity, but I began to see clearer and everything, all the fog, you know, my brain was cleared up.
Yes, sir.
You see clearer and you hear
clearer. And you hear clearer, you know. So what we want to do in this discernment process is always be open to God, the completeness, the fullness of God's love. And my husband kind of wrote at the end of this, these tasks, and these three things shall remain. It should remain after these tests. All right, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Okay, not love with a L-U-V, not love with a L-O-V, but love, great compassion, a big love. Right. So I just wanted to share that with you. Now I want to go into this testimony where, you know, when I was a little girl. Okay, and I posted it on Facebook, and it was pretty humorous as I was posting this, because it was actually what I was going through. So I'm going to read it, and you know, and you can take it for what it's worth. But this is a testimony of how my obedience to a prayer that I have prayed when I was younger, and lo and behold, I knew it was God-inspired prayer, because I had no idea why I was praying the way I was praying. And why I was so very compulsive, you know, that I would get a chance to meet Tom Jones when I was 39. And this is the, you know, and this, it was stemming from a prayer that I had prayed when I was 12, because everybody was going, at that point, was going gaga over his shows and everything. That includes my mother, maybe your mother, and the fathers would like it too, because if their wives got excited, then they would have a better marriage. I must have thought I'd throw that in. Anyways, and the article is called "There Are Strange Things Happening Every Day." Strange Things Happening Every Day is a song, a gospel song that Tom had written and produced in his recording studios in 2010. Okay, and I believe it was a result of this encounter. And also, I believe that the Lord was working on Tom's heart all along to begin with anyway. Okay. There are strange things happening every day, LOL. One of the strange things that has happened that the Lord brought to full circle in my life is this particular happening regarding Tom Jones, the celebrity slash singer slash performing artist. In my younger days, like everyone else of the female persuasion, I always liked Tom Jones, especially the way that he moved and sang his songs. Every time I heard him perform his usual Tom Jones song, I was always wondering in the back of my mind why he wasn't singing gospel with a voice like that and all that soul. And I always heard him singing that song in the recesses of my mind, Amazing Grace. Well, at the time I was thinking that like that, I was around 12 years of age and just trying to make sense of the entertainment industry as a 12-year-old and why people did what they did and how they got to the point of fame. And for some reason, even at that particular point in my life, I somehow knew in the back of my mind that I would someday meet Tom Jones. It was one of those things that I must do. It was a must-do thing. I would even pray that it would be before the year 2000, and when I was 39, I would always ask the Lord to grant me the age and the year. I was so specific with God at the time. Somehow, the age 39 was standing out in my mind, in my 12-year-old little brain. And so I constantly turned it into a prayer. Little did I know that it was God's way of preparing me for a divine appointment with destiny. A message that He, the Lord, established in my innermost being since before the foundation of the earth was laid. And to be honest with everyone here on Facebook blog and also Blog Talk Radio, I thought it stemmed from the same universal crush that every female in the universe had on Tom because of his suggestive moves and powerful voice and powerful persona. I know you all know what I'm talking about. Chuckle, chuckle. However, God was orchestrating an event that was to occur in the not-so-distant future, 27 years to be exact. Only the Lord knew that when I reached the age of 39, while I was in Dunkin' Donuts, getting my iced coffee, because I used to drink iced coffee back then, like it was water, I guess they had those Dunkin' Donuts coupons, you know, where they had celebrities and where they were going to sing for the summer concert, and Tom was at the very top. And the Lord said, there it is. Here's your time. This is the time, the point of time you want to go to this concert. Because he kept coming back and forth to the New England area over the years, but it was a specific time. I'm 39, and Tom is in town. Okay? So Tom's in town, you know, and I get this call. I'm at Dunkin' Donuts get my iced coffee to go to this concert. And I didn't have any money because it was the summer and my bus. I was on vacation with no money. So I call my sister, and my sister gives me, she gives me the spiel, well, surely I have no money, you know, how it is. I'm like, well, you know what, Linda? I have the money. And I didn't have the money, but I said, I'll buy your ticket. I stepped out of faith. I knew God was going to provide because everything else was matching up. So he did. He provided. So I got the money. I bought the tickets. And we went. Okay? So only the Lord knew when I reached 39 years of age I was going to be sold up for him instead of Tom Jones. Okay? So that was the surprise. I was like, here he is telling me to go. And I'm like, I'd rather go to a Benny Hinn concert. I'd rather worship you, Lord. At Father Thomas in spirit and truth all night long. Why do I need to go to a concert where they're going to throw underwear and pillows on the stage and to a song, Why Delilah? Okay. When I finally got the command to go to the concert that Tom was to host, which was at the South Shore Music Pavilion in Cohasset, I didn't want to go because of these things, you know, like I mentioned earlier. All right, so the day finally arrived when both me and my sister Linda, spelled with the L-Y-N-G-A, embarked on a journey to the South Shore Music Circus. All along, I kept saying to my sister, why does this feel like a pilgrimage healing service
to me instead of a concert, because I felt all of heaven coming upon me. I felt like I was going to a Benny Hinn crusade. I was just going to anticipate, inner healing of tremendous magnitude. All right. The Lord was up to something unusual, I thought. He had something up his sleeve, and it was becoming stranger and stranger by the minute. On the day of the concert, the Lord informed me that he will put the words in my mouth when I go, and so I did, and here was the account of the encounter, okay? During intermission at the South Shore Music Circus, the Lord had me stand by the entrance where Tom Jones would be going through to get away from the crowd. The strange thing about this entrance is we were at the way that the tent is set up, it's a pavilion, and it's octagon shape. It has 8 different directions to go out of, exits to go. And I was far away from the stage, and near the entrance anyway. I was just glad to be there because it was the answer to prayer. And so only God knew where Tom was going to exit. And I thought, Lord, this better be you, because you brought me here. Why would you bring me here not to do anything, not to do the thing that you said? So I waited, and as I was praying for dear life, that I didn't get this wrong and that I would be open to the complete leading of the Lord, Tom shows up with 1 security guard, and I was waiting on the other side of the rope near his picture. I also remember I had my Benedictine cross on, because I wanted to be different from the rest of the people. I was led to extend my right hand, and when I did, I felt the fire of the Holy Spirit come upon me. It was burning my head, and heaven, or the heat of heaven was happening. It was also burning in my bones. Heaven had definitely opened up, I thought. As I extended my right hand to Tom, we were the same height. It was a little tall. He's about as tall as my husband. My husband's like 5'8", 5'9". And I have high heels on, so that made me like 5'6", 5'6" and a half. And so I planted my hands on his hard pecs. That's the first thing I noticed, like, his pectorals are hard. Real quick. Apparently Tom still works out. That's what I thought. And then I got my mind off of that. And all of a sudden, I said in my large soprano voice, these words are coming in power and glory. Jesus loves you, Tom Jones, and so do I. And then Tom got a little startled when he heard that. I could see him jump and jerk, like, whoa. It just went inside of him. Okay. So years later, all right, and maybe within weeks, I saw it was on, I believe it was the Dave Letterman show. And he was sitting there. He was a guest, and he had a crucifix on, okay? And I thought, he must have really took that to heart, yeah? And so I just put that away. And then the other day, the Lord says, this is the other day this week, years later, before I did the broadcast, he said, I want you to look up Tom Jones on YouTube. And I thought, Tom Jones? So I sat on Facebook, and I gravitated towards YouTube, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? He actually did an album in 2010. He's still touring with it, called Praise the Blame. So I began to listen to some of this, and I couldn't believe it. He's like repented. I went to his website. He's lifting up holy hands to the Lord in prayer. There's a church. He's got a church building on his website. If you want to go see it, it's www.tomjones.com. So I just know that God, he used me in that time period of my own personal obscurity. I was in between, I was in my single parent phase of my life, wondering if he was ever going to put, if the Lord was ever going to put the right man in my path. And after I got off of that, then, in between, he would put me on assignments, okay? And this was like, it was just, I just really needed this, this encouragement, because the Lord wanted to show me, because I was at, the reason why I haven't really been doing the show as much as I was at the beginning of these broadcasts was, let's face it, we get attacked from time to time, and, when you get attacked, your defenses are down, you're not where you want to be, to do, you know, to do shows. And I just thought, you know, I don't know, Lord, what is what I do effective? I'm not getting as much feedback as I should. You know, I say the things that God shows me, you know, it's a little different than what he shows other leaders. But, you know, I do acknowledge it, but at the same time, I have to acknowledge what you're saying to me. And it seems like it's falling on deaf ears, but that's okay because I know that it's going out there somehow. And I can judge from the stats of the shows, because we do have a stat window, that a lot of people listening. They are listening, but they're not. There's no personal feedback. But that's okay because it's going out. But I got feedback from heaven. The Lord is showing me it's not so much the feedback from earth side that you should be focused on and yearning for. It's the feedback that I give you from heaven. You know, when you get, you know, this witness and testimony. And so I just wanted to encourage you all to, even for the folks who have a YouTube account, go to YouTube and, you know, you just type in Tom Jones. He does have an official page. There are people that put up his videos. They're not as official, but go to his official page. You'll see it. And then go to his website, and I think you'll be glad that you did. I am going to, I'm praying that that God, and I sent a message to him on YouTube through his official site that he would come give his witness, his testimony. I'm sure it might be a little different from what I'm telling you on my side of it, but I know that, you know, God uses various things in people's lives to bring them to that place that he wants them to be. And I know that my part, the nugget that I gave, was very instrumental. I'm not saying that because of, you know, I think of something. I just, because of the way that the Lord set it up and the fruit that happened, okay? So I just want to just share this with you, and I just wanted to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting Tom free of his of the obscurities of his life and how he finally got his attention. And he finally, is surrendered, and I just thank you, Lord. And Lord, continue to do good things in Tom Jones's life and the life of those that hear his music. You can get Tom's album. My husband's just online. You can get it at Amazon.com. There's a direct link on his website, TomJones.com, and you can also get it at Barnes & Noble too. And so I'm just praying that God will open a way for me to interview him, if that's his will, and we can really have a good show. They're all good shows, but it would really be really awesome if that were to happen. So I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, in a couple minutes, we're going to go into communion. I'm going to I'm going to do a communion song, and we'll go right into communion. All right. Enjoy the song. It's been a long time.
It's been a long night.
Okay, hello everyone. We are coming to the end of this show. It's definitely a show that has been blessed from heaven. And we ask that you all take out your swords, your of the spirit. And we are going to still have it on behalf of those who need a touch from the Lord. And also, we're going to lead them in the sinner's prayer, because we're going to be going to a time of communion. And I really, truly believe that the Lord wants to, heal some hearts out there and be your only hope. Because you can't put your hope in other things. Because when you do, it all falls by the wayside, especially when, as the land judgments that happen, and that are not necessarily of God, but they're because the earth is groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. So, do you want to become a son or daughter of God? Let's go. Do you want to rededicate your life? Let's go. Let's go before the Lord in power and glory. The Lord who made heaven and earth, and he made you. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you, Lord. Lord, we come before your throne in humility, but also in your great power, great glory, and great mercy. We plead, Brother Jesus, over anyone out there, Lord, that is going through a hard time, that's going through a struggle. Lord, they don't know which end is up, Lord, but they are really wanting you to pull them out of their pit. And Lord, we pray right now, the sinner's prayer on behalf of them, if they are not even listening, if they are not even near a computer, but we also, for those who are listening, on behalf of those and the loved ones, Lord, that need healing, salvation, deliverance, and renewal, okay? Renewal and restoration. We thank you, Lord. All right, repeat after me, everyone, okay? Father.
Father.
Forgive me. For I have sinned against you.
For I have sinned against you.
And going my own way.
By going my own way.
In my own power.
In my own power.
And Lord, I ask that you come and take me by the hand.
And I ask you, Lord, to come and take me by the hand.
And take my heart.
And take my heart.
Transform it.
Transform it.
And renew it.
And renew it.
And be Lord and Savior over everything in my life.
And be Lord and Savior over everything in my life.
I surrender all to you.
I surrender all to you.
My disappointments.
My disappointments.
My discouragements.
My discouragements.
My hurts.
My hurts.
My betrayals.
My betrayals.
And my false expectations.
My false expectations.
And my skewed perceptions.
And my skewed perceptions.
Of who you are.
Of who you are.
And who, in what you are meant to become. What you are meant to be in me.
And what you are meant to be in me.
And I in you.
And I in you.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you. And Lord, send your Holy Spirit.
And your Spirit.
So that I may be recreated.
We may be recreated
in you.
In you.
So that I may be able to spread the good news.
So that I may be able to spread the good news.
Of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
To the four corners of the earth.
To the four corners of the earth.
In fulfillment of the Great Commission.
In fulfillment of the Great Commission.
Which is healing the sick.
Which is healing the sick.
Raising the dead.
Raising the dead.
Delivering people of demons.
Delivering from evil.
And visiting the sick.
And visiting the sick.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
And also providing for the widows and orphans in the world.
Providing for the widows and orphans in the world.
Lord, in all this.
In all this.
May I come to know.
May I come to know.
Love.
Love.
And discover.
And discover.
Who you are.
Who you are.
In me.
In me.
And in each. In everyone. And in everyone.
And in everyone.
That you call me to serve.
That you call me to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For giving me the privilege.
For giving me the privilege.
To be your bride.
To be your bride.
To be your lover.
To be your lover.
And to be my friend.
To be my friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Okay, we're going to go into a time of communion, all right? And anybody that, if you find yourselves, you've been walking the walk and talking the talk, and there may have been, like, a misunderstanding between you and the leader, and there's some unforgiveness issues, let's just take a time to bring those right now to the Lord, and we ask forgiveness on His part and how we responded in our own attitudes to these people. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We just give them release right now. These hurts, these misunderstandings, whether it be on our part or their part, Lord. Any controlling spirits that come from these people, spirit of legalism, we offer these leaders up as well.
Amen.
And people that represent you, represent the kingdom. Thank you. Heal them, heal their hearts, and heal our broken hearts for being, for allowing us to be hurt by them. We ask that you just hear these stuff right now, the issues of their heart. Touch each and every heart. We give it all to you. We give it all to you. We give it all to you. We give it all to you, Lord. We give it all to you. We give it all to you, Lord. We give it all to you. We give it all to you, Lord. We give it all to you. Okay. All right. We're coming into that time of communion after we've given the Lord everything. Okay. And it says, Jesus, at the night that he was betrayed, all right, which was the Passover Seder, he took bread, he lifted it up, he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take this, all of you, and eat, for this is my body, which will be broken for you. Whenever you eat my body, you remember me. You see the body of Christ. And likewise, he took the cup of wine, and he lifted it up, he gave thanks, and he said, behold, this is the cup of my blood, which will be shed for you, or for all, for the remission of sins and salvation of mankind. Whenever you eat my body and you drink my blood, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory. Receive my blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just fill your people. Fill your people with power. Fill your people with glory. With the glory, Lord, that you had ordained for them to walk in since before the foundation of the earth were laid. Mm-hmm. We offer up all our loved ones, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remember every single one of them and where they live. And Lord, give them the desires of their heart, which is you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank you for coming to listen and be a part of our special time with the Lord on Faith Talks Live Prayer as you continue on in your journey with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Until next time, we love you. God bless you, and have an awesome day. In Yeshua HaMashiach.
Let your kingdom come, Lord.